You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. After 9 here on the West Coast. Joining me is Michael Musselman. What's up, Michael?
Not much, Michael.
How's your day? How was lunch yesterday?
Oh, lunch was good. I mean, we got a lot accomplished yesterday, so.
I can imagine. What problem did you solve yesterday?
The problems that were simple problems, you know, like we did Ralph's, because Ralph's lost power in his house, and he's got like two freezers full of game meat, and so that all went bad. So we had to clean that out. And the router was broken. We haven't fixed that yet. That's another day, but yeah. But then we had lunch with Buck, and man, I'll tell you what, man, Buck was fired up over you, man.
Why? What did I do?
Because he said, don't mess with Ralph.
I didn't mess with Ralph.
Don't mess with John Wayne. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, sorry, Buck. All right. It's called a movie. Okay. Yeah, I even got it.
There you go again.
I even got an email afterwards that said, you didn't finish your story about John Wayne. Okay, Jimmy Stewart.
No, we're not going to finish it.
I'm just going to talk about other people. Jimmy Stewart, right, flew 25 missions over Germany. Okay. Clark Gable.
Yeah.
Clark Gable, he went and served in the United States military. Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, Yogi Berra, right, was a coxswain driver
What's your point?
With Normandy. John Wayne got a deferment because of his family. Right? And then he divorces his wife at the end of the war. The guy never served. Okay? That's my point.
Yeah, but what's the point? Okay. You know, Bill Clinton basically dodged the draft, went to England to get out of going to, and became president of the United States.
Right. So George Bush didn't really do his part during Vietnam. Don Trump had bad knees or bunions or warts,
yeah,
or something. Okay. My point is John Wayne wasn't actually a Marine, okay? He was an actor.
Well, so?
So, let's get over John Wayne.
Okay. He did a lot of good things for the Marine Corps.
Like?
Built that legend. What, Sergeant Stryker? Are you kidding me, dude?
So
every drill instructor after that movie came out emulated. Emulated the way he was.
Yeah, just what we needed, right? Was everybody
I was trained by
Sergeant Stryker.
I came out good. Oh my god, dude, I can't believe Sands of Iwo Flying Leatherneck.
No, great movies.
What
great movies.
Are you talking about?
Great movies. Green Berets in Vietnam, great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Wayne was never a Green Beret soldier. But.
Let's not get it confused with real life, okay? It's called a movie for a reason. Because it's a movie.
But not when we're talking about John Wayne.
What do you mean not when we're talking about John Wayne? It's pretend. That's my point. It's pretend.
John Wayne's not pretend.
All right. So Buck was fired up. Buck. It's called a movie, bro. That's right. You can get him on DVD. He also played an Irishman. He also played a boxer. He did. I'll tell you what he did do. He did play football. He played football at USC for a year.
Yeah, but he did box too.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think if he had to do it all over again, you know, he would. He would do that.
You think he would be a Marine?
Yeah.
Oh my! You drank the Kool-Aid this morning, didn't you?
Yep. Mm. And he was a cavalry, U.S. Army cavalry scout, and. The Indian War and fought the Wild West.
Help!
He killed Indians on the Western Front.
You're part Native American though, so that should like make you upset.
No, I'm the peaceful guy. Remember, my trap was the peaceful guys made the pottery and the cheated all.
You were that guy.
Go after the.
If you're in that tribe, you're not the the bow and arrow gunner.
No, I'm a peaceful guy.
You're the farming guy.
Yeah, cave dwellers.
He's got a good hoe. That's your name. Where's he's got a good hoe? Oh, he's out in the field. We're gonna go bow hunting. Do you think he'll want to go? No, he doesn't like.
You're making a drug deal here.
You're making.
Can I get a roll of? You guys got Copenhagen Wintergreen? Long cut.
Oh.
I know. I'm making a drug deal.
Copenhagen Long Cut. Oh, that's just the smell of that is disgusting.
Oh no.
Oh my God. One of the things I don't miss about the Marine Corps is the smell of somebody's breath when they have had Copenhagen and coffee and they're spitting it in your face.
Okay, thanks.
What kind of stuff?
Oh my God, I can't. There's like a shortage. I get something. I got to find out what's going on in the world. Something is going fishy. There's a shortage, man. I can't find it anywhere.
What, Long Cut? Copenhagen?
Yeah. Gone everywhere.
How many stores have you been to?
Two. Two of the big ones.
Well, that must mean that the Copenhagen guy is not on his J-O-B there in Central Texas. North Central Texas.
I wonder if the storm ravaged the Copenhagen plant or something?
No. Okay. No,
man,
my friend.
We got to send a National Guard for that one. That's it. National crisis.
Hey,
I'm going to tweet President Trump.
You know what I think you should do?
What?
I think you should join Team Rubicon.
What, is that a Jeep thing?
No.
The Rubicon Trail guys that drive Jeeps? I don't have a Jeep.
No, they do disaster assistance. They're in Houston right now. They're in Florida right now. They're in Puerto Rico.
I don't want to. I did disaster stuff. Sometimes. I was part of an organization that created the disaster, and then the same very organization that had to clean up the disaster. I played that game.
You were happy, though.
Huh?
You were happy. Hey, but now you get to drink beer. Yeah.
Yeah, now I get to drink
at night?
I don't drink beer.
You don't?
No, I don't like beer.
I thought you liked beer.
Remember? No, I like bourbon.
Ugh.
You got it close.
That stuff's disgusting.
Okay, I need you real quick to put on your thinking cap.
Okay, got it. It's on.
I just went to Walmart.
Okay.
They don't have any Copenhagen.
Okay. What do you want me to think about?
Grocery stores don't have it either.
Okay.
Where else would you go?
I would go in California. I would go to a liquor store because what you've gone to is high turnover places. Go to some place, liquor store that's carrying it that's not a high turnover place, and they might have some. Because clearly on the route, they're having a shortage, or else it would be in those places. Okay, so it hasn't either been restocked or there's a shortage. Go to a place that would have a lower turnover and get it.
All right, I'm going to do
that. How's that?
I'm going to go to like a sleazy liquor store.
Exactly. As Pedro would say, who's your daddy? The Yankees are my daddy.
What does that mean?
Well,
what the hell are you talking about?
It might have been in 2004 when the Red Sox came back, but
just so everybody understands, today Mac is off his game. So if he sounds a little weird,
no, I'm not.
Probably because he's just I don't know. There's some wiring shorting.
No, dumbass sends me a text.
What time?
9:05.
And you came back 9:05. And I came back and being a smart ass, like I always am, said, that was 2 hours ago. And so he comes back and like, you need to get a better cell service. I just got it. You need to, you can tell he's obviously upset. He sends me a screen photograph of my tech saying that, you know, and then he finally gets it like, oh.
No, I didn't get it. You had to tell me. He said, dude, I meant the time change, but, like, how am I supposed to know that? You could have said
how did my text sound like that to you? Duh. My talk, duh. Oh, is that how you perceived the way I talk?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, back to Yankees are my daddy. I think
we're going to do a drug deal while we're here, so you hear me talking.
All right.
Trying your method. See if it works.
You know it's going to work. You know they're going to have it.
Yeah. I'm at liquor run, baby. Liquor run. Fine wine and beer.
You know, the only problem is going to be is you're probably not the first guy to go on this search. That's the problem.
Let's say that.
That's what I'm saying.
Morning, ladies.
Hey, girls. What's up? Do you know who I am? Yeah, he uses that.
Copenhagen, winter cut, long, winter green long cut. Two cans, you got? Oh, you're a saint.
Who's your daddy?
That's the last two cans?
Who's your daddy? Say it, Mike.
You're right, man.
Thank you. Who's off his game today? Yeah, it ain't me. It ain't me. Go ahead. Thank you very much. There you have it. See, it's what I do. I solve problems. I solve problems for people. But anyway, Pedro Martinez, he gets beat by the Yankees, and in the press conference afterwards, they're asking about get beat by the Yankees, and he says, and if you've never seen him, Pedro Martinez is a pretty funny guy. He does baseball on Fox. And they play this audio clip on a regular basis, but so he says to the media gathered around him, he says, all I can do is call the Yankees my daddy. And then he goes out, and I want to say he beats him twice in the next four games or something like that.
Right.
But it's become a little bit of history. And it's really funny when you hear it. And so they play it all the time. But anyway.
Yeah, Big Poppy sounds fun when he... I like Big Poppy.
No, they... David Ortiz, otherwise known as Big Poppy.
If you're a Red Sox fan, you get to call him Big Poppy.
Yeah, if you don't, you call him David Ortiz. But you can see, I mean, he does baseball now for Fox. Before and after the game. Pedro Martinez does it for TBS, I think. But I will say this, they're both very charismatic. They're kind of they become the centerpieces of their show. Because Pedro Martinez in particular, not afraid to be critical of people. And on most of those shows, most of those guys don't like to be critical. But Pedro Martinez will come out and tell the truth. You know, he's kind of an interesting guy. Okay, I'm going to play the audio here. It's actually pretty funny. This is Pedro Martinez, all right, in 2004.
Some pretty good pitchers, and they battled their butt off. And Sierra is a good example, hitting good pitches. Matsui did it earlier in the game, too. Abel hit three good pitches. What can I say? Just tip my hat and call the Yankees my daddy.
He says that. It's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Right? And he has got the assembled media of Boston, New York, and the nation watching, and he busts that one out. It's hilarious. And then they come back. In 2004, and they win their first World Series. And so, but he's funny and he's smart. And so it's fun to watch him. David Ortiz, just charismatic guy.
Yeah. And again,
David Ortiz will always be remembered for after the bombing, on Patriots Day. Going in,
live on the air.
This is our fucking city. Right? Not even from Boston, right? But it's his. And he spoke for the city. And his decision to say exactly that on live on national television was awesome. Was awesome.
Yeah,
and the place went absolutely hysterical. So, people are baiting me with emails today. Here's one, about George Bush. Saying, I'm not trying to bait you with this. So, Mike, when somebody says I'm not trying to bait you with this, and then they send you something, what are they trying to do?
They're giving you trickery bait.
Thank you.
It's trickery bait is like reverse psychology bait. Well, I'm not trying to bait. It's like starting our conversation with all due respect means I'm going to tell you you're all fucked up here in a second.
Right.
Yeah, I love those. I'm not trying to bait you. If that's the way it ended, fine. If there was nothing after that, then that's a true statement. But what comes after that is called trickery bait.
Trickery bait. The George W. Bush was given a character award at West Point recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got a problem with George Bush. I don't want to hear from him anymore.
A problem with George Bush in that frame that we're talking about, that me and you both believe in. I don't have a problem with what he's doing with wounded vets. I think that's very admirable, and I think it's very.
I agree.
It's very great, that gracious.
I agree. Stay in your lane, though. I don't want to hear any more from you, though. I want you to do that.
I don't want to hear you talking about politics because you had your chance and you fucked that one up.
Nah, that's an insult to everybody who's ever fucked anything else up. You know what I mean? He didn't right? He didn't fuck that one up. He completely annihilated it. So he's in his own special category of idiots that were president and did stupid shit.
Well, no, he's not an idiot.
What?
By no means, he's the man's an idiot.
All right.
Okay? He just made, he lacked poor judgment.
No, he embraced poor judgment. He didn't lack it.
I know, but that's my point, is he surrounded himself, you know, it's like, I kind of judge a person based on the company they keep. And when you're, buddy, you don't see the shit that's smeared in Donald Rumsfeld's face and the stuff that comes out of his mouth, you know, as pure crap. If you don't recognize that, then I got a problem with you. If you look at him and say, man, I'm glad to have him on my team, I got a problem with you. And, you know, and he had a bunch of idiots on his team.
Well, let me read you an email.
I like the guy. I really do, Mike. I like the guy.
I like what he's done. I agree with you. And I know guys. Justin Constantine's one of them. Got shot through the head. And he plays in President Bush's golf tournament. And so one day I asked him, I said, I mean, your life's been completely changed by his decision. He said, I still like him. And, you know, I think he's a good man and all that. I said, you're a better man than me because I'm not over that shit. And let me tell you.
I can't get past it.
Yeah, here's an email. Mac, in his defense, Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all signed up for that shit, too.
Yeah, you just named off a list of losers that bamboozled and had a facade of this greatness. You know, if anybody out of that whole group that had probably ounce of intelligence and iota of understanding what was going on in the world was Condoleezza Rice.
She went along.
Powell showed us clear colors later on. Dick Cheney turned out to be exactly what we thought. You know, for the life of me, man, I mean, like I said, list that list, and then, I mean, Condoleezza Rice, until she took the job as a professor, then I realized, oh, that's why, okay, got it. And then what she's done in the aftermath of that. So now I kind of, you know, everything kind of goes out on her, too, but.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it anymore. Mike also
his father is known in political worlds as one of the worst presidents ever. I will beg to differ.
Yeah, I
will say he is one of the greatest statesmen, one of the greatest statesmen that we've had, because he's one of the greatest presidents that has ever shown what true moral courage was. You know, and you know, so if you base your like off a president of, boy, he handed me a candy cane and I really like this guy, well, then you're fucked up. You know, meaning that, you know, guy that gives you treats, you know, just gives you, that's what he's kind of going for. No, I'm a little bit more in depth than that. I'm a little more deeper philosophical beliefs than most. And if I'm looking at a president saying, you know, George Bush Sr., man, he's as good as they get. I mean, I really liked the guy for what he did. It wasn't until after his presidency, though, that the truth came out about stuff that he did, because he didn't let people know. He wasn't that kind of guy.
Yeah, but Mike, there's no mistaking his act of moral courage, raising taxes as a Republican when he knew it was going to get broke off in his ass. After he said, read my lips, no new tax.
Yeah,
I agree with you. But I'll tell you what, the governor of Texas, right? She's the one that, you know, stood on the stage of the Democratic National Convention, you know, and said, Georgie, read my lips, blah, blah, what, Ann Richards, right? And he was ridiculed. But the fiscal action that he took in the best interest of the nation paved the way for a lot of the economic expansion in the 90s that Bill Clinton enjoyed. So I agree with you. So he can say, I don't care how old he is, he can say whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And you know what? That was his life. He was a public servant.
Yeah. So. And he was a good one at that.
Okay. I expressed the sentiment to Mike, and I want Mike to kind of articulate the what he told me. Suicide makes me angrier now, Mike. Why should it not make me angry?
Because you don't understand the mental thought, the process of, I mean, okay, so yeah, we could say there's 1,000 programs out there. 1,000. You know, you could call and get help. The problem is how many times do you do that? And when we say, what is it, right? When you pick up the phone and say, hello, my name is, you know, John Doe. Oh, I'm saved? No. It's a two-way relationship. So the person on the other line, the person, the counselor, the therapist, whoever you meet, you got to actually have that instant bond to them, that you have that trust and the confidence, and you can talk about things. If you don't get that, then you go out in the world and find it again, and over, and you try to repeat this. The problem is, you know, we sit there and we condemn these people that take their lives.
No, I don't condemn.
I don't agree with that.
I don't condemn them. It just makes me angry. Come on, go get some help. Go get some help.
It's not that easy.
I know, but I'm just expressing my anger because it just pisses me off. I mean, look, we've gone down this road so many guys. Fuck. And
we will continue. Because the system is broken. Because how many, there are probably some really good, legitimate, no kidding, programs out there to help vets with their suicide and, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But how many, I mean, out of the thousands, how many, name one that you know of, 100% sure of, that is there to prevent this and make sure it doesn't happen? Not a group that puts you in touch with another group that puts you in touch with a group, or another one that sends you brochures and catalogs or something over the, you know, an email. You know, one that, no kidding, I mean, so if a friend of mine within a day's driving distance called me and said, hey, Mike or Gunner or hey, whatever, I need help. You know, I need help bad and I'm in a bad way and, you know, I'd be gone. I'd be packing an overnight bag, getting some gas in the truck, and go. That's wrong. And we may have known each other just very shortly, but the thing is, I mean, that's the whole process, right?
Right.
Caring is by action. You got to show, you know, by your action that that you actually mean it. Not just say, oh, yeah, here. If you have a problem, call this 1-800 number, you know, and then you're going to get a voice recording and we'll be back with you in within, 20, you know, 5-10 minutes. I mean, that's, you're important. You know, and I know there's organizations when you call something, there's a human on their line. I understand that, man. But, you know, with all these things going on, they're not miracle workers. They can't save everybody. Mm. Everybody's got different problems.
I know.
And you don't know what they're going through.
I know.
I mean, like I said, you know, I thought about it. Mine was physical pain.
Right.
You know, and I got to the point where I was like, fuck this, man. I mean, like I said, if people understood, when I was still in active duty and I had the headaches and they were that bad, and people would say, you know, my doctor would ask me, how bad on a 1 to 10 scale, how bad are your headaches? Well, you know what, doc, I'm not going to tell you a scale. What I'll tell you is, when I get these headaches, if I could physically stand up, unlock the safe of my safe, I'd shoot myself. And they look at you like, everybody's like, he's super uncomfortable. Like, I'm trying to describe you the pain. But I can't because the pain is so bad that I can't even walk. I can't even crawl. I can't even open my eyes. I can't make a move. The sound of me breathing kills me. That sound of me taking deep breaths is destroying me. That pain right there, that's pain. And, you know,
But, Mike, I understand that. When you've gone and you can't solve it and the pain is so great, you know, I mean, to me, you know, somebody just sent me an email. Hey, Mac, I think there's three categories. I think there's those who are capable of walling stuff off in their lives, and they simply don't go there, and they put their life back together, and they keep that door shut, and then they continue. There's other people that go and they talk to somebody, and that helps them. That provides the support they need. And then there's a third category of people that even if they go talk to somebody, it doesn't make sense, and they're incapable of walling it off. For those people, right, we have medication and other therapy. If they don't hook up with the right type of therapy, like Gunnar's talking about, then you get what you get. And then there's a subcategory of that to those who aren't going to find the right type of therapy, whose pain is overwhelming, and who are destined for suicide. I think if you accept that, then you can accept it better.
There is nothing that you can do prevent somebody that is dead set of taking their life. Nothing. The people that you can intervene with never wanted to kill themselves in the first place. That's just the only way they know to ask for help at that extreme level. You know, when they've asked for help before, hey, I need help. I mean, how many times? One time in my entire life did someone actually say to me, sir, I need help. What do you need help with? I need to talk to somebody because I'm going to take my life. Only one time ever did someone say those words to me. And I was like, shit. All the other times, all the training that you're involved in and everything else, everybody says, these are the triggers that you need to look for that are potential suicide. Well, fuck, if you use those, that's everybody in the Marine Corps every day. So now what?
Not everybody.
Okay, everybody that works hard, every good Marine.
Every Marine
busting their ass in the Marine Corps fits the suicidal conditions set forth from some society. You know, fatigue, doesn't like work, rocky relationship, fuck. not getting enough sleep, all sorts of shit. Like, what are you talking? That's me.
Abuses alcohol on occasion.
Yeah. Financial issues. That's every corporal and below. You know, it's like, come on. Give me a break. You have these bullshit categories. We try and make these cards, these foldouts and everything else to make it pretty, and it's got to fit a certain whatever agenda window. So we got to categorize it. We got to capture it. We got to make catchy videos and slogans and, you know, little TV spots and ads that people are in. Just, it's stupid. But that person I wrote that email, I think that's perfect. Hit it right on the head. I agree with that 100%.
That you have to accept those categories, and then there's certain people that there's nothing you can do?
But spend your time with those, the trying to identify those categories, those people that you can save. Now I know what people are going to say. Again, if people are destined, hell bent on killing themselves, there's nothing you can do. And I don't say you give up on them, because you can maybe just turn, but you got to realize that they're going to kill themselves if they really want to. The only, I mean, put them in a padded cell, put them in an armless, you know, straitjacket, and maybe, just maybe, you can prevent them as long as you keep them in that facility. But once they're out, then you're rolling with dice again.
Here's an interesting email. I read your articles that you put on your website from that site, 538.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell families to do the following. If you have somebody that you believe has suicidal tendencies, then go change the locks on the gun. Because one of the things it said that the biggest enabler of suicide in the country is to be able to do it quickly, and that is a weapon. I would tell you, go buy identical gun locks and switch them. See how that works.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
For what it's worth.
Well,
I mean,
and here's why, Max. There's a huge percentage of men that choose to shoot themselves over women.
Over women,
I mean,
okay.
Huge.
Right.
Huge. Like, you know, 90 or more percent men choose handgun suicide or gun by death by gun than a woman. And a lot of them take, because it's a
Hold on. You meant over woman, you mean as opposed to women, right? Not over
as
a woman.
As opposed to women, yeah.
Not
women, yeah.
Not because of a woman.
No.
Okay, could be a variety of
opposed,
so.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Keep going.
And then I think they look at it, the only thing that would probably serve that point would be the fact that it was just an opportunistic type thing, you know,
right.
And an opportunity to do it.
Yes.
But I think a lot of people choose over-the-counter drugs or prescription drugs, overdose, cars parked in a, you know, in a tight place, carbon monoxide, you know, because everybody's, if you're going to do it, I think the main thing a lot of people look at is they don't want to suffer. And they don't want people to suffer, meaning people think about it and go, man, I don't want my daughter to come across my body with, you know, my brains blown out. People have that discussion. But I think the ones that choose the gun suicide are, again, it's such a low point that they're at rock bottom. And they have just no other option. They just do it. Boom. If I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. Boom. Culture.
Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States.
Hey, brother, I got to run.
No, we're not. I'm not done with
you. Yeah, I got to take this phone call.
Who got you your Copenhagen?
Oh, you did. But this is the LPC guys from Austin.
No, I don't care. Bye. I don't care.
Dude. I gotta go.
Don't hang this phone up. That's the clincher if you want him to hang it up, go ahead and yell, don't hang up the phone. Oh my God. There are 44,193 Americans that die by suicide. According to the website 538, 33,000 are by gunshot. For every one who succeeds, 25 attempt. Men are 3.5 times more likely to take their own lives than women. White males account for 7 out of 10 suicides in 2015. Suicide rate is highest in middle age. Suicide methods. according to this, and this doesn't jive with 538's data, but I'll give you these numbers. Firearms are 50% of deaths. According to this, 22,000. He comes back because he knows.
Okay.
Because I trained his punk ass. Now, where were
Don't
we?
Don't make me hang up again. I have to go. Well, that phone call was from the, what do they call it, the licensing for me to teach license to carry here in Texas. I've been waiting for like a year and a half to get it, and they called me back today, and I was like, fuck, I can't miss that.
All right, so what did they say?
They gave me my class date, so December 20th through the 22nd.
And that was
so
it?
Put that on your calendar. That's like a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday I'll be at a course.
Okay, let's talk about suicide.
Okay.
All right. According to this website, and I think the numbers are wrong, but I'll just give you by ranking. Firearms are half of suicides every year. You know what? That might be right. Then poisoning is the next highest.
No.
Suffocation, which I would mean to think hanging, also carbon monoxide, suffocation,
right.
Is the next highest. At 20.
Well, no, that would be asphyxiation.
Well, I think it would.
Not suffocation.
I know, but I think you expire from lack of breathing. I think maybe they would lump them into the same thing. Then poisoning is 15% and other is 8%. So firearms account for 50%, suffocation. I guess the point of the email was change the locks on the gun and you're gonna force him to either rethink it or do something else. And that's kind of the dialogue out of that website is, you know, when you're diagnosed with a mental health issue, you should have that discussion and say, we need to do something with the guns because we don't want to lose you and you may go down that road and we don't want to lose you or somebody else. I don't know. It's hard.
That had to meet a certain criteria because someone could have said that to me at one point.
Well, do you think you? Let me. I don't want to make this too personal, but I will. I mean, don't you think your wife thought about that and some of the stuff that?
No, she's asked me. She said, "You know, like, do we need to? Does someone hold on to the gun?" And at first I kind of took offense to it, and I was like, "What the fuck?" And then I was really, well, then I came to the realization of like, oh yeah, I forgot. No, I'm good. Cause I know. I mean, I got beat. No, something has got to take over my whole thoughts and my body to make me do that. I could never do that. Never. No.
So even though that you would talk about it, you don't think you could ever do it?
I don't think I could ever do it. I mean, like I said, I thought about it. It's filled my mind where I've said in my own mind, like, man, there's only one way that this pain's going to stop. Only one way that there's going to be, like, tomorrow that I don't wake up in pain. There's only one way. You know, and I don't sit there and go through it like, okay, I'm going to do it this way. I just realized at that point, like, fuck, okay, that's pretty, you're getting to a point in your life where you're like, oof, when you start thinking about ending it. But like I said, when I told you a long time ago, I understand. You know, for the longest time, I would say to myself, I never understood why they do that to themselves. It's just stupid. No. Okay, my heart goes out to them. I understand. I really get it. I know what they're going through in some cases.
Right.
I know how bad it can get. And I know that in some cases, it's the only answer.
Yeah, I know. I just get frustrated.
But you know what?
I told Mike this a little bit ago. My sister lives with worse than anybody I know, and that is both her kids were shot in the head, and... she held their bodies waiting for paramedics. And they were both killed. And my sister's still alive. And now, why is that? I don't have an explanation for it other than, you know, what she tells me. If I took my own life, then he wins, and I can't ever let him win. He did it to ruin my life, and so I can't do that. I owe that to my son.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know where you find courage. I don't, for instance, because that's what, that Mike, you arrived at the same place that Peggy arrived. In spite of my pain, I could never do this because of fill in the blank. Right? And then,
right.
And so.
Because then I'd leave my wife, you know, just the thought of my wife going on after that, and then the anger and disappointment that she would have, you know, and my daughter, no, and my friends, no. Nope.
Right.
So it's the other result of that keeps you driving on. And then, you know, and like you said, so I'm pain free for 85 days, every 85 days, because then I have 5 days where I go through, I'm just about ready for the Botox stuff to wear off, and then the headaches start coming back, and life sucks, but I just tell myself, okay, I can get through this.
But,
and
you,
then
but you've got
5 days
that,
later,
right, you got that figured out, right, though, right? I mean,
right.
At least,
it's
at least,
cycle.
Yeah,
from my
estimation. So now, I don't mean to sound like a dick, and I'll read an email that kind of talks about me being a dick. Hey, Mac, don't worry about sounding like a motherfucking dick today. All of us feel that shit. It's the anger that we feel because there are programs now, and we miss them, and it's frustrating, and you want them to latch on to somebody and to live and to hear that now. Lo, all these years later, for some of us, people are still taking their lives, is just devastating. Just devastating. So you don't sound like the dick that you probably are. It's a frustration that all of us share, and a devastating feeling when somebody that we know, instead of reaching out to us or somebody, goes into that black place and ends their life. It truly, truly sucks. But I will tell you this, listening to you two fucking ass clowns talk about it helps me. And I'm sure it helps other ass clowns like me, because you don't hear this kind of raw discussion too many motherfucking places. So, just
yeah.
So you motherfuckers know, I motherfucking enjoy listening to you guys on a daily basis. Keep up the mediocre work. Semper Fidelis. I think that was a compliment.
Remember,
I think that was a compliment.
Well, I always, my expectations are low. I set them low. So if I've done that, then I've succeeded.
Here's another email. Last one. Mac, I'm curious if the Gunner would corroborate what you said about the whole Keiko thing in Florida. Does everybody know that it's the family's right to view the remains of a loved one? Does everybody know that goes to do that? Mike?
What, I don't get, what's the question?
Okay.
What was the issue, I guess? I guess the issue.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff yesterday had a press conference about events surrounding Niger and the four soldiers that were killed there, was asked a question. The wife of a sergeant that was killed there was told she was not allowed to view the remains. And I made the comment that, look, I don't know a whole lot about what went on in that Keiko call, but this is the second event that's come out of it that told me whoever did it wasn't up to snuff. The first event was when he or she is standing there and that wife is upset after talking to the president, and she makes some kind of comment that says he didn't understand or made it worse. Whoever the liaison person was at the White House that set up the phone call should have got a phone call from that Army officer to say, hey, you need to reengage on that because that didn't go right. That's point one. The second point is everybody who understands the whole Keiko thing, you can advise the family, and the family may ask
right.
you, would you recommend that I view the remains?
Right.
Could you look?
That's true.
And those of us that have been involved in it, that have done that, you go back and you tell them, maybe, I don't think, if I was you, that's not an image that I would
want.
I
strongly advise you, no.
Right.
No, that would be like the, that would be the strongest way you can say no. You can't say no.
Right. Okay. All right, so there's your answer. You know, Mike.
Yeah, that's fucking, this whole thing with this is just, it's got me, and I can't watch it because I'm going to say something that is not appropriate, not politically correct.
No, but we're talking about just the cake. We're talking about the cake side of it.
I'm talking about the whole issue.
Yeah, I know. Okay. All right.
Just get to the point where.
Where are you going to lunch today?
I'm at Paradise down in the square, meeting a friend. So.
All right. So go ahead. Say thank you for me helping you find your Copenhagen.
What? You're now gonna be part of a drug dealing scam or something? Right. You're a little...
Have you ever known me to be afraid of a drug deal?
Yeah, I just had to get it on, man. I'm so happy. They only had two cans, though, so I got to find another supplier.
No? How long will two cans last you?
Oh, a couple days. 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
I just got to ration it.
All right. Well, don't be afraid to cut back a little bit.
What?
I know.
Wow. What did you today?
I'm sorry. All right. Have a good time with your friend.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Out. The Gunner. Yeah, fucking suicide, man. I fucking hate it, honestly. You know, a good friend of ours is dealing with it, out of the blue. And he's just heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. And, I don't know, you know, the only thing you can do is hug your kids and try to be better and try to let the people that you know that you care about. And I will tell you this. How therapeutic is me talking to that bozo every day? For me. Right? I talk to my other battle buddy times three. Is in Africa right now, of all places. But yeah, he's still on active duty. But I talk to him. And there's about four others of us, that, along with Mike, that are three other guys, along with Mike, that are really close friends that we talk on a daily basis. So, if you don't have that, you need to get that back, right? Your ass clown friends, stay close to them, man, because when life sucks, they help. And I'm not talking about, you know, for most of us, you know, we'll never go down that road to suicide. But you will go down other roads, divorce, financial difficulty. And when you go there in the company of your, you know, your ass clown friends, it's not as bad as it normally would be. So, yeah, suicide sucks. I mean, honestly, it's just, and after all these years, and I've worried about my sister since, you know, since 1996 when her two sons, 4 and 6 years old, were murdered by their father. And, you know, so it's been something that we've lived with and we've talked about it. And it's not easy. I mean, her life, those were her only two kids. But that's why I say, my sister Peggy, toughest person I know. So, yeah, I'm flying back to Indiana to help her move her shit to Sacramento, where we're from. So, and she's fired up. She's going to be around her friends again. She moved to Indianapolis. My mom was living there. And my youngest sister, Susan, you know, Peggy went back there to live amongst them, and it was good for her, but she's going to move back home and be around more of her friends now. She has more friends in Sacramento than she does in Indianapolis, so she's fired up about it, but it's just hard, and I feel like a dick for having those thoughts of being angry, but when I saw my friend's text, you know, it's just like my first reaction was, fuck, all this time, all these programs, and people know about it. It's not like it's a secret anymore. We talk about suicide all the time. And I don't mean on All Marine Radio, but in the military. And so somebody's blown through all of that and then does it anyway. You know? And I think your first reaction is, fuck! So, with that said, have a great afternoon. This program will repeat itself momentarily. so don't touch that dial. My thanks today to my guest, Stacy Reidinger, retired Marine Major, formerly the Public Affairs Officer at 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. And so my thanks to coming for her to come on. If you missed it, very interesting interview about Team Rubicon we ultimately get to. And we also talk about hazing, but get her thoughts on it. She's prior enlisted, so she has unique thoughts about that. Also as a woman. So so my thanks to her for coming on. And then in this week, when we remember the Marines, the sailors and the soldiers that lost their lives in Beirut, don't forget them in your prayers. And if you know any of them, reach out to them and just say, Semper Fidelis, motherfucker, thinking about you. It's good for them. They need it. Tomorrow, Doug Lucio is going to join us, and then we're going to talk. But before that, he just wrote an article in the Gazette about advising, which is kind of timely that we're talking about advising. We had Gil Barndaller on talking about it last week, but Barndaller is the one that sent me the article about Bush. I got another email about it. Here, listen to this. What a shock, West Point, honoring George Bush. They continue to cover themselves with glory. First the Che Guevara shit, now this. Good God. I'm sure there's somebody who's deserving of that award that probably doesn't have the checkered past that George Bush has. The Middle East is in fuego because of that dude. Like it or not. I guess it's not successful leadership that counts, but just being in that billet. That's a pretty low fucking bar. Congratulations, West Point. On that light note, that's it. And always my thanks to Mike Musselman. More of a... Yeah, so we'll I did an interview with Ron Baskowski. He's a first lieutenant in Beirut. He was not at the compound when it detonated, but he talks about he was closer to the city in another firm base. And you'll hear about, you know, what they went there, what it was like, and pretty interesting stuff. So you'll hear that tomorrow. And then Doug Lucio will join us at about 9 o'clock because the gunner is absent on Wednesday. So have a great day. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the home fort, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.